Welcome to Broside Broadcast. My name's Derek.
And my name is Blake.
And today we're diving into Bring Me the Horizon's newest single, Kool-Aid.
Derek, do you drink the Kool-Aid?
We're about to find out. If you had to choose one favorite Kool-Aid.
Oh, easy. Blue raspberry. No. Lemonade blue raspberry.
I don't think I've had that one.
I think I mixed it up. I think it's actually raspberry blue lemonade. That sounds okay. Completely wrong.
Well, my favorite is red Kool-Aid, just like the one on their artwork. But we've got a 30-second clip for you all to get a taste of this Kool-Aid, and then we'll jump right into our thoughts and our discussion. So here you go. So before we get into our thoughts, I thought it would actually be kind of cool to go into what we've observed of how people are interacting with this song.
Overall, it seems like fans of the band are liking the song. The only real complaints is, the mix.
And I saw that on Reddit, but initially I actually saw someone in our Discord server bringing that up. Well, before I tell my side of things, and before we get into that, what did you think about the mix?
So when I first listened to the mix, it wasn't the best situation for me to listen to a song for the first time. I was in my car, and it just wasn't the most appropriate time. So things were a little fuzzy. It sounded all over the place, and I didn't really get the best idea of how the song should have been conveyed to me. And it just, I didn't really have a good grasp on it. I didn't have a good reception about the song. I'm going to be honest, I really just didn't like it at first.
And we'll get into more of our thoughts here in a little bit. But one funny comment I actually saw was someone commented that Ollie could waterboard them with Kool-Aid.
That sounds very...
So I take it they like it.
Yeah, they really like it. There's a lot of things to like about that perfect scenario, but there's a couple things that I felt about the song that were just kind of coming out to me that on that first listen that didn't resonate as well. It had a very 90s vibe. I felt like it kind of had a, like I said previously, it had a fuzzy mix to it.
I guess like a post-grunge?
Post-grunge.
Maybe.
Post-grunge. It reminded...
See, at Broside, we don't get hung up on the semantics. Overall, it's this is rock metal somewhere in that. It's not that important.
But correct us if you will, and that's my challenge to you, listeners. Correct us on our social media, but I got a 90s vibe.
At Broside Broadcast on Instagram.
And done. I got a very post-grunge vibe from it, where it kind of reminded me of the Pierce the Veil album that came out last year, where it had that fuzzy vibe.
Okay.
It's the Bring Me the Horizon tone of, or their version of, or take on grunge.
Now, one of the comments from our Discord server from Lauren, shout out
Lauren.
What's
up, Lauren?
She said, it doesn't feel as polished as I'm used to from them. I don't like the vocal mixing.
Okay. Also semantics, because I want to know, and I didn't message this to Lauren in our Discord because I wanted to talk about it here, but I wanted to know what Lauren thinks is Bring Me the Horizon polished. What part of Bring Me the Horizon is polished to a person?
I would say probably more of their pop-influenced music, like Die For You, Strangers, more of those, because everything is a bit more clear, whereas this is, like you said, it's fuzzy, it's kind of grungy.
Distorted.
Yeah, it's in a different realm.
Right.
And kind of jumping ahead to my thoughts, like, as far as the vocal mixing goes, I can kind of get on board with that when it comes to the car experience.
That's not a good experience. Well, not the best experience whenever you're listening to a song for the first time, but a polished experience for me, for Bring Me the Horizon, is anything from Sempiternal.
That's fair. For me, I think it would be That's the Spirit.
Okay, well, you're leaning more towards the poppy side.
Kind of.
I'm leaning more towards the clean chug, perfect metalcore, polished Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from.
The point is that there is a perfect polished Bring Me the Horizon sound for every Bring Me the Horizon fan. I don't want to say Bring Me the Horizon too much anymore on this episode.
BMTH.
Cheesing.
BMTH. Right. Let's just establish that. But Harley, another one of our great listeners, she said, chaos, rage, a little bit of solace in a twisted way. It's a trip. I like it.
Okay.
And I feel like that's a pretty fair assessment of this song.
For sure. Take a sip of water.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. That's also something Harley said.
Right, well, I prompted her.
See, usually I edit drinking parts out, but I'm leaving that part in.
I'm drinking a zero sugar Sprite because it's almost bedtime. Or if you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you're going to go night-night forever.
Oh, no. Well, let's get into more of the details. Let's get into more of our thoughts.
Right on.
I think we established, you know, there's some mixed reviews. One other person in our Discord said, there's parts I really like. There's other parts of this that are unlistenable. I disagree, but we'll get into our thoughts. So, like you said, initially you didn't like this track.
Yeah.
And I had the opposite reaction. Now, ironically, the first time I listened to the song was in the car. I didn't expect to like it because for anyone who's new here, I have not really been a fan of this band for the last 8 years. But everything leading up to Amo, I was a big fan of. So I've taken a back seat of this band for several years.
For the record, Derek and I have the same stance on this band, and we're up to the same point of our exploration with this band to now.
Which is kind of nice because it's not very often that we come to the show with like the same experience or kind of being in the same mindset. Yeah. Sometimes you'll be more into a band than I am or vice versa. So it's more of like one of us is discovering a band while the other one is like already pretty up to date on them.
Absolutely. I feel like we were very pretty level with this experience on this song, and it hit us at the right time in the right place. Well, not concerning the first time we listened to the song, but how we reflected on it and started to actually indulge in the song and actually listen to it instead of having such large expectations. The one thing I started to think about when I listened to this song, or when I started coming back to the song and listening to it again, was that it reminded me of music being fun.
Yeah, I would say that this is a fun track.
It is just a fun song, and I don't want to take anything away from that. I don't want to take the fun out of this.
Now, one thing that I kind of want to reintroduce into our reviews is just the music knowledge side of things, because I don't want to just be another basic reviewer just giving my opinion. I do want to give a little bit of insight.
Yeah, this is not a reaction channel.
Yeah, this isn't reaction, but the tempo of the song, I couldn't find something exact, probably because where it's so new, but I did a BPM finder where you tap on the keyboard and, you know, I kept up. It seems to be around 145 BPM, which is an upbeat and kind of like anthem-like in the verses.
Right. I mean, the guitars are going to be kind of shredding in a certain way, and the drums going to are hitting a certain way, and that's a certain speed and tone that is attractive to some of the songs that we generally listen to.
Right. Like whenever I'm writing music, I actually, the first thing I do is go to tempo 145, because back when I used to run every day, I had a running playlist, and like that tempo seems to be like the best running speed for me anyway.
All right. So any of you listeners now who are joining are going to start a new plan for your dietary needs, or I don't know if you're starting, it's New Year's, right? So you have resolutions, and everyone wants to start something new. 145 BPMs is where you should start.
I didn't say run now.
No.
You couldn't pay me to run now. Those days are long gone. I'm just saying back in the day. Okay.
All right.
My knees, no way. I get my 10K steps in a day and I'm good now.
I look at a skateboard and I hurt just from looking at it.
Like you mentioned, there is a nice shreddy solo. It's not, it doesn't have its own like part. It's not like in a bridge. It's just part of the song. And then the song moves on, which is nice because it reminds me of like, let's just say it, Count Your Blessings days.
That's exactly what I thought, but that stands out as much as the very much chugging parts of the song that have a certain guitar tone that kind of bring me back to maybe Sepaternal sounds. It's a very heavy chug, but I do want to say that the shred stands out, but I also want to emphasize that the chug parts are just as recognizable.
Right. Like, while the mixing may not necessarily be everyone's cup of tea, I do feel like all the elements in the song are really well balanced.
It's balanced as well as it is all over the place, I find.
So something else that I really like about the song is after the first chorus, Ollie comes in and he has those also Count Your Blessings high screams, which I absolutely love. And it's not that he like has never done them since then. There's been some songs that he's done them in since, but for some reason, this song just feels different.
I mean, I feel like this song, it could be placed in the album Amo somewhere, and it wouldn't be out of place.
And speaking of Amo, I had messaged you because I kind of made the connection to their song Mantra, that in that song it says, "Do you want to start a cult with me?" And then this talks about Kool-Aid. I kind of looked into it further, and there's no like real connection, but
okay,
still cult stuff, which
I thought we were gonna get into some conspiracy theories here.
Not yet. That's about Jordan Fish, which we'll talk about here in a minute, but I don't know, we talked about this on our Albums of the Year episode. Go listen to that after this. And it's just, again, this kind of talks about a love relationship kind of being like a cult. We're not here to go into lyrical analysis detail. It's just nice that this isn't like a depressing love story kind of thing. This kind of continues their post-human theme that they've been doing for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a consistent narrative thread for long-time listeners.
Now, you had went back and listened to Amo. I did as well. We listened to Posthuman and then all the singles leading up to this. How do you think that this track stands in relations to those other releases? Because we both came into this not exactly being huge fans of those releases, but I know me and you kind of said this song puts everything else into a new context. And this is a me and you thing. This isn't really saying anything about the band.
I don't know what this song did, and maybe we'll figure it out later, but it opened the windows. Not so much the doors, but the windows. It opened up the windows, let the breeze in, and helped us listen to everything before this. We listened to Amo, Posthuman, whatever the rest of the album's called, and
Survival Horror.
Right, that. And kind of let us dive into all of the singles and everything lyrically and musically that Bring Me the Horizon was experimenting with throughout the past 4 years. I think that this song may have helped us tap into something that maybe we didn't know was there all along.
And I think that 5 years ago with Amo, I'm still going to say it's not my favorite album by them, nowhere close, but I do think that their music really influenced other artists, mm-hmm. and those artists took it and they've been doing their thing. We've not really been paying attention to Bring Me the Horizon, so we didn't come in with a bunch of expectations, but I do think whenever Amo came out, there was a ton of pressure.
See, the expectations seems to be the main word that controls the band and their sound, but doesn't control them, because there's just so much expectation when you hear a new Bring Me the Horizon song that I think people just shut off on the first listen.
Now, I do want to get into one thing real quick. We said no tangents on this episode. I'm going to stick to that. So I'm giving you 1 minute. We'll talk about this tied up real quick. What are your opinions, because I've seen this comment, of whenever people say that they need to go back to Suicide Season days?
I think that people need to drop that expectation and that Suicide Season days will never come back. If you want to listen to Suicide Season Days, go listen to that album.
And would you agree that there are more than enough bands currently that are doing that same sound, if maybe not better than what they did?
I don't think any band will do it better than Bring Me the Horizon.
I agree with that, but there are still enough bands now to fill that role.
If there's a void that you're trying to fill, you will find it if you search for it. If not, go back and listen to Bring Me the Horizon.
Right, this band is not the only one who's capable of that anymore, which has allowed them to move on to what they do now.
Let them do what they do. In tangent.
And I think with that removed pressure, they're able to come back to this kind of music on their own terms, which probably makes it more fun for them, and the people who enjoyed that back in the day were able to enjoy that again now.
So moving forward, I don't think that we should ever expect Bring Me the Horizon to ever make heavier songs, or we should ever expect them to have heavier songs, or expect them to go back to a certain sound that we are expecting or want to hear from them. We should allow them the room to experiment and appreciate what they are putting out for us. Because there is essentially just no other band doing it the way they are doing it. They have 13.1 million listeners.
On Spotify, right.
On Spotify,
and
correct.
And going back to listen to Amo, I kind of came to the realization that they didn't really have anywhere else to go musically. Because I think going back heavy would have been a regression at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have just kind of fallen into irrelevance.
Right, like just maybe like a fish out of water, just like kind of flopping around like a dead fish.
Well, speaking about fish out of water.
Oh, really?
This song does come at an interesting time where Jordan Fish just got kicked out of the band. We'll be, you know, pretty blunt about that, because the band released a statement saying that they were parting ways with him. It wasn't this thing where Jordan Fish said, oh, I need to spend more time with my family or anything like that.
We don't know if it was in some sort of Slipknot fashion or anything, but it seemed pretty amicable. But we checked the credits on this new song, Kool-Aid, and Jordan Fish is nowhere to be found. And Ollie Sykes actually had a pretty heavy hand in the production of the song. As you could hear at the end of the song,
right,
he is giving some sort of notes on how the melody should be for the chorus of the song, which if you go back and search for it, there's videos of Jordan Fish and Ollie Sykes going over melodies, writing songs together, collaborating, and that's how they would write the singles and songs that they have written together for 5+ years. But now it's Ollie Sykes by himself, so maybe he's trained at this point
I certainly think so, and I don't want to understate Jordan Fish's contribution to this band mm-hmm. for the time that he's been part of it, because clearly he was a vital role. But I do think it'll be much more interesting now to see what they sound like going forward, if they're going to keep more of the pop influences. I think they will to a degree, but I also think that they're looking for a new sound.
I feel like this is a new era for the band.
I agree. And I think that maybe the timing is a little coincidental, but Amo was released in January of 2019, and now it's January of 2024. So
they just like to kick off the new year just right.
Right.
Kick someone out and kick off the new year.
New year, new bring me the horizon.
New year, new me. Takes a sip of Kool-Aid.
You had mentioned conspiracy theory and things like that. It's not really that big of a conspiracy, but I do have a feeling with like the timing of his departure and the timing of this new song coming out that has no writing credits from Jordan, I kind of feel like, what if they were writing this behind Jordan's back?
I don't know if I would go that far. I feel like Jordan Fish would have an influence on this more
but
than...
But he's not listed as a writer. This song was not written in the last 2 weeks. You know that has to be true. This song had to be written while he was still in the band.
Don't make me think like that.
You said it wasn't that much of a conspiracy, but then you start thinking about it.
I was thinking it was a cult.
No, not that much. It's okay. Not Jared All right. Leto's thing, but...
You had me looking into this as if it was a cult the whole time.
Oh, no way. But some of their fans, sure.
Hey, for sure, mantra, you know? Also, repeated lyrics. This was going to end in tears from the song, Ouch.
Ouch. Yep.
He says this was going to end in tears, but he also says that in Kool-Aid.
Okay, so there are actual more references back to Amo.
Right. So that's why I feel like maybe we're starting over. We're going to start back at Amo. Maybe it won't end in tears.
So I do kind of wonder, obviously, all of their recent singles have been successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Millions upon millions of listens. You can't say that it's not successful, but I do wonder if they do kind of miss their core fan base. And that had any kind of influence into them making this decision.
Well, I think there's enough shred and growls and screams in the song that will maybe give a little hint to the core fan base that will say, hey, we're still here for you.
And not giving a middle finger like another band has recently done, but that's a different topic for another day.
Yeah.
But just creatively, and I think that there could even be some financial motive behind this, because now it's one less person they have to pay. Because all of his parts that he did live, you can definitely program.
I mean, bring me... God, I hate saying this.
BMTH.
BMTH is not suffering financially whatsoever.
Right.
So...
And I saw someone trying to make a comparison to Slipknot, kicking out their members and bringing the horizon. No.
There's not nine members in BMTH.
No.
There's four.
Do you think that they will write less commercial music without Jordan Fish?
I think the experiences from Jordan Fish that they have gotten is like the experiences that you get with a producer who has taught you how to write music and how to produce music yourself without having that person by your side. So I think that that is going to help them be proficient in their capabilities in songwriting in the future. And if Kool-Aid is a song that they have written without Jordan Fish, which was essentially their producer on the side, I feel like this is a promising song that reflects or gives us a little bit of promise for anything to come in the future.
And just one other thing is that while it seems amicable. There's people that want to go look at Jordan Fish's Instagram, and he's removed any trace of the band. He removed all pictures, everything.
Why do I feel not concerned at all about Jordan Fish leaving? Why does this not, like, affect me personally?
See, I'm kind of in the same place, and it's probably a selfish place, to be honest, because okay. I like this song. I have a hope for it to continue sounding like this. Mm-hmm. That's just selfish intentions. I completely realize that. It's kind of easy to, oh, this band member left, then we got this song that we like. He must be the problem. It's kind of like when an NBA coach gets fired. And then the team wins their next game, and it's like, yeah, clearly he was the problem.
Perfect. Another perfect sports analogy. I'm surprised it wasn't food.
The food analogies are out the window. 2024 NBA analogy. Sorry if you hate sports. I'm a white man. It's one of my interests.
It's not our problem. It's what we were born into. I don't feel like Jordan Fish will have any problems getting any work.
Oh, absolutely not. He has an amazing pedigree at this point.
Absolutely. So I think it was an amicable departure. I feel like it was a, hey, we can separate. It's fine. You take custody of these kids and...
I mean, he'll still get royalties from all the stuff that he did.
Of course.
And honestly, I feel like they probably... For all the music that they wrote in the last 5 years that I initially wasn't like a huge fan of, that has put them in the position now to where if they are wanting to go back to writing heavier music, they're in a much better position and have the freedom to do so.
Do you think Jordan Fish was opposed to writing heavier music?
Probably not, because, I mean, Sempiternal still had plenty of heavy moments. And then you look at Dear Diary... That could be a comparable song to this because it had chuggy moments. It had another solo. So it's not like the song is completely new and unheard.
As I continue to interview you about Bring Me the Horizon, do you think that they pull back from writing heavy music?
I think it's possible because I've not went to go... look who's been on the writing credits for like the previous stuff, just because I've not paid attention for 5 years. But I don't think that Lee has been as active on writing. Mm-hmm. So seeing his name on the writing credits on this, and also seeing Matt, the drummer, as a writing credit, it's back to the full band experience, not just an Ollie and Jordan Fish experiment.
We have a lot to look forward to in 2024. With Bring Me the Horizon.
And Posthuman Next Gen, I think, is slated for a summer release. So I know we'll talk about this again, and it's kind of nice to have an old favorite band back.
I feel like we have a favorite band back, and you and I have both listened to the song enough times today to prepare for this episode, and...
Absolutely.
I put it on my favorites list. I know you have.
And I just want to say, if anyone doubts that I was a fan of this band, when I was 17 years old, my mom found the CD case of Suicide Season in my room with a girl holding her guts, and I got grounded for a month for that. So don't you dare say that I've not been with this band, okay?
Oh my God, for a month?
For a month. Damn. She tried to say I was worshiping Satan and called the preacher and everything. So I got grounded for this band. Don't say that I've not been through it.
My mom bought Korn's Life is Peachy for me for Christmas, and you got grounded. I'm sorry. But we're fine. Look at us. We're doing good. We're doing a podcast together, and we're doing fine. And Bring Me the Horizon is back.
And it didn't end in tears.
Oh, there we go.
All right, well, if you don't already, follow us on Instagram at Broside Broadcast. If you want Patreon content, there will be a link in the description. We try to do at least one of those a month, but our main free content is right here in this feed. So hit follow, give us a 5-star rating and review. It helps way more than you could ever know.
We appreciate you listening to this episode. please follow us, like Derek said. Give us likes, click the bell so that you can get notifications whenever we have a new episode.
All right, well, that's been our review of Bring Me the Horizon's Kool-Aid, and I've been Derek.
And I've been Blake.
And you'll hear us next Tuesday.